I am offering the present Mass for the poor souls in purgatory, and my habit every Christmas day is to then ask the poor souls for what I specially need. You ask for your intentions, and I've got mine. I thought for our conference and homily for the third Mass on Christmas Day should be on Christmas and the Holy Eucharist. I wonder how many people realize how close a relationship there is between Bethlehem and the Eucharist. We may begin by making a general but very correct observation. Except for Bethlehem, there would be no Holy Eucharist. If we ask, what happened on Christmas Day? We might correctly say three things happened. God, who had been in the world from the beginning of time as God, began on Christmas Day to live in the world that he had made, no longer merely, what an advert, merely as God. God began to present in his world as the God-man. This is the first thing that happened at Bethlehem. The infinite God, who had to be present in all of his creatures in order to sustain them in being, decided at a point in time to enter his world as man. What is the second thing that happened on Christmas Day? Before Mary brought Christ into the world, God was in the world. But God was incapable of suffering. God's capacity for pain began with the Incarnation. And as we should never tire telling ourselves, that's why God became man, in order that he, the infinite, all perfect, and as we say, the impassible God, could become a passable, that is, suffering and dying human being. That's the second thing that happened on Christmas Day. There is no reason we should think that when Christ was born at Bethlehem, he did not, as mothers tell me, he did not, we may be sure, enter the world without crying. What's the third thing that happened on Christmas Day? on Christmas Day, God not only became man and began to be present in the world that He had made, not only is the God except for whom the world would not be sustained in its existence, God also became close to man. In a word, on Christmas Day, God made it possible in a way that staggers the imagination and makes the heaviest demands on our faith. We believe God is with us as a man. Having said that, I would like to go back over what we have just declared and remind ourselves how the Holy Eucharist, thanks to Mary, is the sacrament of Christ's presence, the sacrament of His sacrifice, and the sacrament of His intimate communion. I think I began teaching sacramental theology in 1954. That would make it 30 years. And no matter whom I'm telling about the Holy Eucharist, whether lay people in lay retreats or religious as yourselves or priests as I will be in giving the priest retreat for the Duluth Diocese in Minnesota from the 7th to the 10th of January. I have come never to assume, no matter how learned the people are, never assume that they really know what the real presence means. I say that safely because I was ordained several years before it dawned on me not what, but who is present in the Blessed Sacrament. In the Blessed Sacrament, faith tells us, is present the self-same, mathematically, identically, same Jesus that Mary held in her arms on Christmas morning. I forget how many things I've told to the handmaids of the Precious Blood over the years. But even if I'm repeating myself, it's worth saying. The Holy Eucharist began. It began in Mary's womb. And the child that Mary gave birth to at Bethlehem is the very same. No difference whatsoever between that child in the stable at Bethlehem and the Jesus we adore and worship and invoke in the Holy Eucharist. What are we saying? We are saying that God who became man, who lived, suffered, died, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven, never left the earth. I remember reading the homily given by the then Cardinal Facelli, soon to become Pope Pius XII, in which he spoke to several hundred thousand people at the last International Eucharistic Congress at Budapest, in Hungary, shortly after that International Eucharistic Congress, the communists took over Hungary. The land of my forebears, my name is Hungarian. Well, the papal delegate told the people in the crowded stadium at Budapest. I read it and have never forgotten. Remember the Jesus that you worship in the Blessed Sacrament is the self-same Jesus that Mary gave birth to at Bethlehem. We might ask ourselves why. Why did Christ come into the world as man? And then, having suffered and died, and instituted the Blessed Sacrament, why did he want to be with us in the real presence? The reason he did so was that by his being present on earth as man, he might be the sacrament of his presence. I've taught too many priests and seminarians this mystery of the faith, then examine them in writing and orally, not to know that a lot of people who believe in the real presence don't really understand, as we should, what this means. It means that human flesh and blood, the body and blood of a human being, is on earth, in our midst. The same Jesus who first lisped his infant word to his mother, the same one who taught the crows in the Sermon on the Mount, the same one who appeared after his resurrection and told the disciples, "Peace be with you." He's here. All I know, and I sure know this, once you don't just believe that he's here, but you know it. You're lying. Honest to God, are no longer the same. This is the reason for contemplative in the Catholic Church. That there might be at least some people among the millions of Catholics in the world who not only believe, but as far as it is possible in this valley of tears, see Jesus in their midst. And as a consequence, expect from this Jesus invisibly, but really with us, all that Christ's contemporaries expected and asked for and pleaded for and obtained from him. What did Christ's contemporaries in Palestine ask from him? Very simple. Miracles of grace. The real presence is a sacrament. And a sacrament confers grace. And the grace that Christ, who is here, gives to us is all the grace he conferred on his contemporaries in Palestine, and as he promised just before he died, and even greater grace. There's only one condition, and that is our faith. If we believe, if we believe, and in the degree that we believe, we shall obtain from him all and even more than he gave during his visible, mortal, and immortal stay 2,000 years ago. But the Eucharist, as the present Holy Father never tires repeating, is a sacrament three times over. It is first, as we've just seen, a sacrament of Christ's presence. It is secondly the sacrament of his sacrifice. Christ remains present on earth and will remain as a human being until the end of time. But Christ also, having died once on Calvary, he wants to continue his sacrifice, his offering of himself to his Heavenly Father until the end of time. Except for Mary. we could not have the real presence. We could not have the sacrifice of the Mass. Why not? Because whatever else the Mass is, it is the oblation, the offering. And because the offering is complete, we call it sacrifice. Of what? Of a human being. By whom? By a human being. It's only because Christ becomes present as a human being on the altar that the Mass is possible. And the good happened on the cross can be reenacted. Namely what? The surrender of his human life. Keep that word human. The adjective human is at the center of the meaning of the Eucharist. There is a man on the altar with flesh and blood making possible what he offers. There is a man on the altar with a human will making it possible for him to make the offering. In order for Calvary to be possible, there had to be a human being on the cross with a human will offering his human life for redemption of the world. Very well. That's what we now have on the altar at Mass. A human being with flesh and blood. A human being with a free will. The essence of the Mass is a human will which happens to be the will of God who took on human nature, but a human will offering his flesh and blood in sacrifice to his Father. But now we come in. He died on the cross and shed his blood. He can no longer die. But unlike the first Mass, which began at the Last Supper and ended at 3 o'clock on Good Friday afternoon, in which Christ suffered the agony and died, he can no longer suffer or die, but he does make the offering. And as the same Pope Pius XII declared in an encyclical that every contemplative, I almost want to say, should memorize, Mediator Dei, the most explicit, far-reaching, profound letter of the Vicar of Christ on the meaning of the sacrifice of the Mass. As the Holy Father declares if it were possible for Christ to die, he would die in every Mass. But though he can no longer die while making the sacrifice, unlike what happened on Calvary, where only he made the sacrifice, in the Mass, it is not just Jesus, the Son of Mary, who is making the sacrifice. It is Jesus indeed, but we, along with him, it is the mystical Christ who is offering the sacrifice of the Mass. And while the head of the mystical body can no longer suffer, we can, we should, we must. Unless we are suffering, we are only attending Mass. We are not offering the Mass. Dear Jesus, I hope those who are hearing my words understand what I'm saying. The Mass is not merely to be witnessed or attended or participated in. The Mass is to be lived, and to live the Mass is to suffer. Suffer out of love for the God who suffered out of love for us. To know this is to know the heart of Mary as she stood under the cross. And suffered the mystical martyrdom with her son. And wants us, like her, to live the Mass as she lived the Mass on Calvary. One more profound relationship between Bethlehem and the Eucharist. As finally the Vicar of Christ, our present Holy Father, is telling us, the Eucharist is the sacrament of the real presence. It is the sacrament, strange combination of words, it is a sacrament of the sacrifice of the Mass. It is also the sacrament, perhaps most commonly understood by most Catholics, of Holy Communion. Because Mary carried her divine Son made man in her womb for 9 months and gave him birth in Bethlehem, we have the Eucharist, one of my favorite invocations. He is Mary, Mother of the Blessed Sacrament. And surely she is. We believe that when we receive Mary's Son in Holy Communion, we have Him just as closely, just as intimately, just as really, and just as effectively as Mary did while she carried Him between Nazareth and Bethlehem. Why do we receive Christ in Holy Communion? There are many things which the Church of God has defined over the centuries. There is none more important than this. Christ has instituted not only the sacrament of His real presence, not only the sacrament of the Mass, but the sacrament of Holy Communion, that we might receive into our body the innocent, glorified body of Christ, so that receiving Him into ourselves, body for body, flesh for flesh, feeling for feeling, He might give us what we most need in this life to become like Him, and that is an increase of love. Love for God and love for others. That is why when I speak to married people, I tell them, I plead with them, as one of the resolutions of your retreats, may I ask you to receive Holy Communion, if possible, every day. Because whatever else you married people need, it is selfless love to be faithful to one another until death and to accept the children that God wants to send you. And only selfless love will make your marriage faithful and fruitful. And when I speak to priests, as I will in a few days, I beg of them, fathers, never let a day go by that you do not offer the sacrifice of the Mass and receive our Lord into your body. Because whatever else a priest needs is a capacity for selfless, and I mean selfless love. You obtain the grace to love the way you should as priests, mainly from Holy Communion. And when I speak to religious, being a religious myself, I can completely identify with the statement of my confrere, St. John Berkman, Oh, how I like to say this, first in Latin, then in English. Mea maxima mortificatio est vita communis. My biggest mortification is living with other religious in community. No religious doubts it. You can have all your fasts on bread and water. You can have all your bodily penance, the heaviest, hardest, most demanding mortification of religious life is living in a community. I know, dear Lord, how well I know, and my fellow Jesuits, I am sure, would say the same. Religious life would not be difficult, it would be impossible without daily Holy Communion. But, as with the Real Presence, giving us the grace of Christ's intimate friendship, a sense of His nearness, as with the sacrament of the Mass, giving us the capacity for suffering lovingly. My favorite definition of sacrifice. So with Holy Communion, in order for this sacrament to give us the power to love the unlovable, to give and keep giving, and not only not complaining, but, I mean it, loving the endurance that other people cause us. We need grace. This is mainly provided by the sacrament of Communion, but on all three levels, the triple sacrament of the Eucharist, which came into the world on Christmas Day, will be as fruitful as we are faithful. It is our faith that makes the Eucharist the blessed sacrament, which means the sacrament that makes us happy and gives us already in this life a foretaste of the happiness that awaits those who on earth had believed in the Holy Eucharist. Jesus, Son of Mary, we believe You are with us. We believe You are offering Yourself for us. And when we receive You, we believe You are within us. Help us, dear Jesus, to believe as Your mother did, so that like her, we might enjoy Your heavenly presence with You for all eternity. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.